I've been in camp meeting since Monday night. It did start Sunday night, but we didn't get to go. Of course, we had activities here, and it's still going on tonight. But I chose to be here because I wanted to be here with you, and I wanted to preach tonight because I've had something burning in my heart all week long. Again, I don't know if we're in trouble tonight. A lot of times I have long outlines, and a lot of times I have a lot of exegesis and of the scripture and tearing it apart and looking at it and trying to get out of it everything I can get at it. But tonight I have a piece of paper. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know yet. It might be one of those times that we scratch our heads in a few minutes and say, where did that come from? But I think it's going to be the latter, because I believe you're going to say, wow, not because of me, I'm the least of the least, but because of what I believe that God is wanting to do in our lives today. If you have the book of Romans, I want to share with you tonight a simple thought, title, a theme: God is our helper. The people that who recognize that God is their helper is people that have been helped by God. People that have been through some things. And they realize that if God don't help me, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Everybody walks a different path. Everybody's got a different story. Everybody's came through a storm. You're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. When I was a kid, and she's probably watching, maybe, my mama watched the sky, and the darker the sky got, the more nervous she got. She would have us four kids huddled up in a corner somewhere, almost terrified and shaking because of the possibility of a storm. I remember many times that they would give a tornado watch, not a warning, but a watch. Conditions are potentially conditioned, potentially prepared, potentially ready, potentially could be a tornado. But it's not happened. It's not a warning. They've not been one spotted. Nobody's seen it. But it could happen. Brother West, she would take us about a mile down the road, and we'd all huddle in my granny's basement, waiting for the storm to come. I don't remember a time in my youth that I was ever in a tornado. Now, it could happen tonight. I don't know what the weather forecast is in Thomasville. I don't know in my adulthood, really, that I've ever been in a tornado. Now, I do know there have been tornadoes around us. The one that went through Greensboro about 2 years ago, hippity-hopped through Thomasville, right up near where I lived, and went right up and knocked trees down. Our son was on the front porch the night that the building beside of Skipper's was destroyed. Anybody remember that? The tornado that came through and it killed the lady back over on near 47 back in there. So tornadoes do happen. They do happen. They're real. Storms are real. There's things in our lives that tell us that storms will happen. The testimony of other people often come and they say, I remember when. Anybody ever said that? I remember the flood. Here's the big one. Conversation yesterday with individuals. I remember the blizzard of 1993. I remember the blizzard of 1993 living in Haywood County. 20 plus inches of snow in my front yard. Down here, Martha said there was 18 inches of snow. 8, 10, whatever, I don't remember. And I said that to say this, that storms happen. I'm not going to stand up here and be in denial about the fact that we go through things. And I do, and I go through things. Several days ago, the Lord began to put some scripture upon my heart, found in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. And Paul again talks about his own personal testimony throughout a variety of different scriptures, of different places that Paul talks about this. When you begin to look in verse 31, again, this is scripture that we all know. And I love the way that Paul actually opens this up because of the verbiage and because of the wording of how this works. I want to read this with you. I want you to somehow or another just, Pastor Bolin used to say, get this in your grinder. I want you to get this in your heart tonight. I had to get it in mine. I've sort of worked on this scripture in my mind all week long. All week, this scripture's went over and I've looked at it at a variety of times of between camp meeting and driving and going and doing. I've looked at this scripture all week long, off and on. Verse 31, let's read this together. What shall we say, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, then who can be against us? One of the first things that I began to think about and look at in my own heart and my own mind was simply this, that God is for you and God is not against you. We're children of God. We're God's children. There's not a person I know that wouldn't want to take care of the children or their grandchildren. And how much the more does God love you and does God love me? And does God care about me and you this evening? And Paul, this great apostle, Paul the apostle, as he began to pen these words, he began to write these things. And there's several words that begin to leap off the page at me. Somebody in English class would have to correct me on this, but they're sort of like, I guess, personal pronouns because they describe a noun, sort of kindly. If God be for us, us in this scripture is you and I, the disciples, Christianity through time. And if God is for me, how many of you know God is for you? How many of you know that God is not against you? And if God is for me, well, I'm just going to have to say it the way I feel it. There's not a demonic power in hell that can stop you. There's not a demonic power in hell that can stop me. But that don't keep him from trying. It don't keep him from fighting. It don't keep him from trying to tear us down. But again, when Paul was writing this, he comes back and he said, if God be, how many of you know that God is for you? I wish in the church today that we would get back to the place that we would understand and know and realize that we are the children of the Most High God tonight. We're not orphans. We're not being abandoned. We're not a has-been or a used-to-be or a could-been. We're the children of the Most High God. We need to understand that God is the one that has separated us and God is the one that sanctified us. And he said, if God be for us, one more time, if you know God's for you. If you know, how many of you know God is for you? I want you somehow to get that in your heart as I had to get it in mine. God is for you, Brother Cain. I don't give a jippity rip who's against you, but if God's for you, you've already got the victory. I don't care if I'm off camera. I'm not worried about that. They wanted to be here, they'd got in their car and came over here tonight. Come on, somebody. I ain't worried about that. I'm talking to us. I guess in some way, and again, like I said, I've just eat this thing all week long. And the only way I'm going to preach is the way I feel it. And if I get done preaching, I'll hand the mic to Horace and he can finish it. But how many of you know we live so far below what God wants us to live? How God wants us to live. If God be for us, then he says, who? Somebody says, well, the devil. The devil, the devil, the devil, the devil. You know what I found out? And I found this out just recently. And Sherry and I, we have a whole lot of conversations. Me and my lovely bride, hey, we're soon to be married 40 years. She told Kay she got married when she was 10 a while ago. I heard it out of her own mouth. Get this in your spirit. Who can be against you? You know what I found out? And this may not be for nobody but me and Jason. You know what I found out? I'm my worst enemy. I am my worst enemy. Because between my ears, doubt tries to settle in. Between my ears, fear tries to settle in. Between my ears and my brain, I have these conversations, and then I get down in the mully grub, so to speak, and before long, I have myself convinced that God don't love me. I have myself convinced if God loved me, I would not be going through what I'm going through right now. If God really cared for me, I wouldn't be going. How many of you know you got a devil to fight tonight? I wish it was easy. I wish that it was more comfortable. I wish we didn't ever have to deal with the things we deal with in this life. But friend, you might as well get ready. You might as well get ready for it. The battle's going to rage until the day that we take our last breath. And some people, I tell you what, it just absolutely irks me to my irker. Don't ask me what that is. They act like they never go through a thing in the world. They put on a pretty smile and they fake it till they make it. On the inside of them, they're falling apart. They're about to break. They don't want nobody to see them panic. They don't want nobody to see that they're really one step away from losing control. You say, well, preacher, you act like you've been there. Friend, I've been there. I'm preaching to me. Just let me preach. But God made me a promise today. I can shout right there because you don't know what the promise is yet. I'll tell it to you in a few minutes, but not right now. I'll make you stay till 8 o'clock now because I'll tell you at the end what it is. But he said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? When I began to think about these scriptures over the last several days and begin to process them throughout the evenings and the nighttime. He gives you and I, in verse number 32, the sum of the whole matter. Synopsis, if you will, of the whole matter is wrapped up in verse number 32. I want you to get a hold of this. Because he said, who? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. I don't know how that makes you feel, but I know one thing, if it had not been for Jesus, and I heard it said at camp meeting, and I don't want to do anything redundant and repetitive that I may or may not have heard at camp meeting, but I will say this, and it was not said exactly the way I'm going to say it. They were talking about we need to get back to the Word. And we do need to get back to the Word. We need to preach the Word, as Paul told Timothy. But I'm going to tell you this. We need to get back to Jesus. We need to get back to talking about the Jesus that gave His life. The Jesus that was conceived in the womb of Mary, that was put there by the seed of the Holy Ghost. that lived a spotless life, that lived a life of 33 and a half years upon this earth, that they took by the Roman soldiers, and they hung him on an old rugged cross. They pulled the beard from his face. They spit in his face. They jerked the beard out of his face. They crucified him and put a spear into his side. But thank God, on the third day, the angel said, "Where's he at now, boys? He's not here." If that don't get you excited, your wood's wet, friend, because that's what Christianity is all about. If God be for me, then who can be against me? If Jesus is on my side, I don't need to worry about nobody else. If God be for me, then who can be against me? And then he says in 32, "But he who spared not his own son," unconditional love, is God not giving me what I wanted, but God giving me what he knew I needed, and he knew I needed a Savior, and he delivered me by the power of his Son on the cross of Calvary. But this Jesus on the cross was the Jesus that they put in the tomb. And the Jesus that was in the tomb was examined on the third day. And he was not there, the angel declared. And he said, "Go, boys, over to Jerusalem and go up into the upper room until you be endued with power from on high." And from the upper room, they come stumbling out of there. And they said, "These men are drunk." And then Peter said, "These men are not drunk as you suppose, but it's only the third hour of the day. Early in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, my friend." But they came out of there like drunk men, if you will, intoxicated by the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know where you're at tonight, but God's looking for you. He's looking for a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl to intoxicate you, not on the things of the world, not on the things that you can get intoxicated on by the things of the world, but intoxicated by the power of the Spirit. And that's the only way we're going to make it, is by being intoxicated by the power of the Spirit. Several verses of scriptures that comes to my mind this evening. First of all, we understand that God is our helper. We have to recognize where our strength comes from. If there's anything that the church needs to know today, it's not going to be by gadgets and gimmicks. Tweak this and turn that. Make it a little better here. Turn it down over there. Move it over there. Move the furniture around. Give it a facelift. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
I should have saved it to Sunday morning, shouldn't I? I got another one already for Sunday morning. I'm ahead of time. I'm going to get to Sunday morning later. Well, Sunday morning. But I'll get into that later. But just because you try out a new gadget, just because you do a little rearranging of the furniture, that's not going to make anything happen. You know what's going to happen? Y'all ready for this? It's when the glory of God shows up. The power of God shows up in the church. But I'm going to tell you something. You can get mad at the preacher tonight if you want to. But we've got to get back to we're seeking God. Just showing up for church ain't going to cut it. Because if you just show up for church, we're just going to show up for church. We're going to just show up for church, and then we're going to go home. We're going to go home. We're going to come back the next service. We're going to show up for church. We're just going to show up for church, and then we're going to go through the routine. Then we're going to go home. But I'm looking for a man or a woman somewhere that's hungry enough to say, "Preacher, I want God to rearrange my furniture. I want God to do something in me that's going to stir me, that's going to change me." When Paul, again, when we think about the scripture, when Paul, again, was writing this, he said, "Deliver to him up for us. Oh, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" When we look in the scripture, there's a few verses of scripture that I want to turn to. And I'm glad that we have these on the board as well tonight, but I want to turn to them myself and see them. We look at Psalm 121. When you look in Psalm 121, here is the scripture in verse number 1. We got to understand this. If we're going to see, this is the only way I know how to say this tonight. If we're going to see life transformation, and let me just gently say this again. I think it was Zerubbabel, Zechariah, that God told him this. I say it all the time, and I reflect in my own heart, Sandra, that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit. How much the more do we need the Holy Ghost in our lives today? In the day and the hour that we're living in, and I'm not trying to take away from 1954. It's a good year. I'm sure I wasn't around, but I'm sure it's a good year. I'm not trying to take away from that. But you know and I know there was things going on in 1954 that was bad. Some of you could probably tell me about 1954. But my point is this. In 2024, coming, 23, 24, there's things going on today that if we don't get God as our helper again, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble. I'm not saying who and I'm not saying where. I'm going to be nice tonight. And they are in this room. I'm not going to point them out. They're in this room. And I know I'm online. I'm probably going to get hate mail, but it's okay. I'm not against people. I don't hate people. Are you with me? But when a church waters it down to the point that they put a gay pride flag underneath the American flag in the front of their building, we got a society that's in trouble. That happened close by. I ain't looking at who, and I'm not saying who. But you say, well, preacher, that's everywhere you go. Bingo. Everywhere you go. And somebody says, well, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We're going to get raptured out of here, and we ain't going to have to put up with this mess that much longer. Somebody else says, I'm going to be dead and in the grave before long, and I don't have to worry about this mess no more. Thing about it is, there's so many today that don't have God as their helper. And I got to move on. I don't have time to meddle. I can't meddle tonight. I got so much to do. I told you I only had one piece of paper, so it's not going to be that long. It's just processing it all. The psalmist began to say, the Lord is my helper. Again, in verse number 1, he said, I will lift my eyes unto the hills which cometh my help. Verse 2 says this, my help cometh from the Lord. You need something. You need help tonight? I'm going to be real. I'm going to be honest. Sherry's sitting right here, and she'll jerk my coattail if I'm lying. There have been days in my life that I didn't know how I was going to make it with certain things. Days in your life may not be the same thing I'm dealing with, but everybody's got their deal. Like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. God. Jesus. Recognizing that He's our only source. He's the only one that we've got, folks. He's the only one we got. And I'm going to be ugly. I'm just going to say it because it's where my mind's been lately. A psychologist's couch will not fix our society. Can I tell you, plain, simple, right down the gun barrel? I know those people have their places. I'm not trying to deny that. There have been times, Sandra, that I've thought about going and seeing somebody to see if I can sit down on their couch and see if they can help me. I'm being honest. But I found out something. My help comes from God. We in the Pentecostal ranks, we know what it is to be under the power of the Holy Ghost. And if we can just get that back and know that God is for us and God is not against us. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven earth. Verse 3 goes on and says this. I got to hurry. When you look in verse number 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. In other words, there's security in him. There's a place of protection in him. He is a constant defender of the children of God. He that keepeth thee will not slumber, but he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Can I tell somebody in the room tonight, as I begin to look at this three different times, in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, the Bible says that God is our keeper. If God be for me, then who is going to be able to stand against me? Come on, church. We're not the church of the has-beens or the church of the used-to-bes. We're the church right now, and we are the declaring who Jesus Christ is over our lives today. Hallelujah. I got to be plain. I'm so sick of the devil. Look around us today and we see the enemy coming at every corner. Again, the psalmist reiterated in Psalm 28 and 7. This is what the Word of God says. We got to recognize that our strength comes. If you want victory tonight, we got to realize that our strength comes from the Lord. Psalm 28, verse number 7 again. He says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. I don't know about anybody else in this room, but when I read that, there's something on the inside of me wants to take a running spell. Amen. And glorify God and magnify Him. Because he says the Lord is my strength. See, I want to personalize that tonight. I want to apply that to my life. I don't want to just preach it. I don't want to just sing about it. I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want everybody just to pass it off to somebody else. But we look at this word and we personalize it and say, the Lord is my strength. Face anything in the church, we need to understand once again, and God had to help me really early this morning, about 6:30 or 7, sitting in my chair at the house. God moved on me in that chair. God spoke to my heart as I was sitting there, and everything in my mind that was out, come on somebody, everything that was in my mind that was out of line, the Holy Ghost showed up in that chair today, and God gave me a brand new perspective. You think I'm silly tonight. Maybe you think, preacher, you've lost your ever-loving mind. Can I be real? Yeah. I'm going to be real anyway. I might as well say it. You're looking at me now. I might as well get it out. Because I'll tell the truth. Some people deny it. And Horace, I'll tell you, since you're the one listening. Just yesterday, the day before, you say you're repeating yourself. You go back that many days, days upon days. Brother Hall, it's like there'd been a black cloud over my brain and over my head. Brain fog. Every day's been like this. Brain fog. See, y'all won't tell the truth. I'll tell the truth. Every day it's like the vice is getting tighter and the lights are going dimmer. And Jonathan, you almost get to that place of, excuse me, you almost get to that place of hopelessness. She didn't even know I'd done it. Yeah. You get to that place of hopelessness. Now, y'all ain't never been there. But you got to get to the place you understand something about Jesus. See, I've been digging in this scripture here since Sunday. Sure, you don't know every time I study and process and think. I ain't had time to sit around this week and study for 2 or 3 hours. I've been busy all week long, camp meeting there, but I've been pondering this scripture. And I had to get back to the place, Miss Cindy, that I let him get back on the throne of my heart. We live in a messed up world. We live in a messed up world that's trying to do everything it can to suck you right down into that black hole. Everything. But all of a sudden, when God shows up and you're sitting in your chair at the house and everything that's been going like this, all of a sudden lines up. You talk about a liberating feeling. You talk about a liberating feeling. And everything that is going on in the inside of me, just like that, Jesse, just like that, lined up. I ain't talked about it all day, but I know what happened to me. God healed my inner being today. He healed my mind today. My wife knows this. I've not even sat around talking to her about it today, but I was saving it because I knew what He'd done for me. Is all the dark clouds gone? No, they're still in the shadows. But I know who's in front of me now. The Lord is my strength, my shield. He's going to protect me from all the fiery darts of the wicked. I wish I had 2 hours to preach this. My heart trusteth in Him. We need a checkup from the neck up tonight. I use that term a lot. And I use it a lot in just saying phrases and things I say to myself. Sometimes we need a rework from the floor up. The whole man. Body, soul, and spirit. My heart trusteth in Him. Where's your heart? What have you got your heart set on tonight? What are you trusting in tonight? Some men trust in riches. Some men trust in chariots. Some people trust in a bank account, but their lives are miserable. Some people trust in their homes and their cars and their families. And I heard the other day, anything you put before God, I don't care what it is, becomes your idol. And God says, have no other gods before me. That's why the church is in such a mess. I'm going to preach. And I tell you, I thought about this today and I've meditated on it in my own thinking. We're in trouble in the church. Because we'll let any little hiccup keep us out of the sanctuary. We'll let any little thing keep us from God and God's house. We don't care. If it's a ball game, the ball game's going to come first. If it's this, it's going to come first. If it's that, it's going to come first. And I'm not against ball games. I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm talking about the spirit of the heart. The priority of the heart. I said that because that's what come to my mind. I don't want to be offensive. But I'm just saying we let things keep us from God. I got to quit meddling and move on. My heart trusteth in Him. And look at this. I am. I ain't got the time, but I am means a lot. Jesus said, I am the way. I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the door. I am the shepherd of the sheepfold. I am the light. Jesus said, I am He that was, is, and was, and I am the Alpha. He says, I am. I am. I am. I am helped. Not I am helped. I am helped. I am come on the scene. I am showed up. I'm going to tell you something in just a few minutes, but Sunday morning is Father's Day. I know I don't have the time to do everything I'd like to do for that particular service. I don't think. I don't know. I don't want to get on to Sunday morning service right now, but let me just say it like this. Sunday morning when I preach, I'll have something in my pocket right here. I'm going to leave it right there tonight. I'm going to have something right here in my pocket. Okay? So Sunday morning when I come in, y'all focus right here on my pocket. I'm going to leave it right there. And I'm going to save the rest of that part of this message for Sunday morning. Okay? So we got to understand, and I'm going to try to hurry through the rest of this really, really fast. We got to understand where our strength comes from. Number two is this. We got to understand that man's abilities are limited. Man's abilities are limited. I'm not preaching to you nothing I've not lived. So many times, my prayer requests have become nothing more than a complaint session and a murmuring. And I go and I spill my, well, sometimes we just kind of go bleed on other people, don't we? Like man can fix it. I've had to understand within the last day or two of my own walk with God simply this, that man can only do so much. Man's abilities are limited, but God's sovereign abilities are inexhaustible. Psalm 118, and again, when you look in Psalm 118, verses 6 and 8, this is what the Word of God says. He says in the Word, He says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? In other words, not how man can hurt me, how that man can bring pain to me, but how is man going to be able to do anything? And we are to pray for one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are to walk this thing out together. But I want to get back to the place that if God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. Verse 7. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. What, again, the Lord taketh the pain. The Lord taketh this part of me that nothing else can help me but God. Man's abilities, again, is extremely, extremely limited. Again, the inabilities of man, again, the inabilities of man speaks to the abilities of heaven. When you begin to look at Paul's writings again to the church there at Rome, Paul begins to remind us, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? It is God, my friend. It is through Christ Jesus, not the abilities of man, but the inexhaustible abilities of heaven. And again, this is just me and my grinder and me up here working this out tonight in my own heart. We need to get back to the place in the church that we trust in God's abilities. I'm going to preach to the preacher for a minute. Empty altars, no salvations, dry eyes, no prayers, is a sure sign that we've worked in the operation of the flesh rather than the operation of the Spirit. If they've ever been a time that we need to see altars filled, if they've ever been a time that we need to see hot, wet tears on the altar of repentance, it's the day and the hour that we're living in. I believe, and this is just me, when it's your turn to preach, you preach it the way you want to. But I think one of the reasons that we're not seeing things happen in the church today is because we have relied upon the strength of man more than the strength of God. And I'm preaching to me too. Let me move on fast. Third thing that we're looking at this evening is simply this. So we look at this evening and we see what Paul began to announce. Verse number 35, Paul says this, This is the assurance that Paul was saying hinged on verse 34. And he says, even at Christ Jesus, he's risen again. He's at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for you and I. I need to tell somebody this tonight. And I'm not talking to me right here because I would know if I was, but I believe I'm talking to somebody else. It is not God's will that you fail. It is God gets no glory out of your failure. God gets no glory out of you being anything less than what He's called you to be. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, pass the test. I hated tests in school. I could study and study and study and study. She's seen me do it. Biology, I could study every term down to an amoeba and down to the most intrigued part of every, I mean down to the atom, down to the nuclei, down to every, I mean we looked under microscopes and they would have us identifying things. Then we'd take index cards and we'd have to write it out, and then we'd have to remember 100 different terms. I'd have the definitions on one side and the word on the other side. I'd made me flip cards and I'd study them things. When I'd be test day, I didn't remember a one of them. None of them. I'd sit there in a tizzy, I guess is the word I'm looking for, just overwhelmed. Couldn't do it. And you might laugh at the preacher. If you laugh at the preacher, God bless you. You do it your way and I do it my way. When I was going through Haywood Community College, there's two classes that I never could get. And it is what it is. Somehow or another, I don't know how an X and a Y equals anything when it's beside a 3. I had no idea. And I don't care how many times they made us memorize Mary, multiply, add, whatever all that stuff was in algebra and all that. I still don't know how an X and a Y beside a 3 equals a 12. I don't get all that. I don't. There's a teacher, she'll have to tell me. Algebra. Biology wasn't my friend. Algebra wasn't my friend. Anybody in here love algebra besides Artie? Don't talk to Artie. Don't talk to me about that stuff, Artie. I'm going to say, go talk to the hand. This dude's smart like that. I ain't. I said that to say this, that if the enemy can come at you and get you to believe and you're a failure, you're going to be a failure. Kids, we pastored in Monroe for a while, and there's a little girl, Jessica. Jessica had a cerebral palsy, and she couldn't hardly talk. You could understand her a little bit. She had a good sense of humor, even though she had cerebral palsy. She'd do this. Some of you already know. Loser! She did know how to do that. She'd always sing a song. She'd try to get through a song. She'd sing. She'd always cut up with the other. And I said that to say this. If the devil can get you to think that about yourself. Y'all don't know how in ministry, Jesse, I've had to push myself. I'm a redneck country boy from Haywood County that wore cowboy boots. I didn't have cowboy boots until I got older. I wore what I could get. I got my tennis shoes on tonight because my feet's hurting. If God can use me, He can use you. And Paul began to say this in verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is part of what I believe God's led me into to head towards Sunday. And I'm going to save the rest of this. I'm only going to do this. I'm going to save I'm going to save the rest of this till Sunday. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul? I hope to get to it Sunday. I'm not going to keep you here much longer tonight. Paul went through some stuff. Hey, can I tell somebody? I know this is plain. It's a lot of it's off the cuff. A lot of it's just in my heart. It's been there all week long. I just need to tell somebody that Jesus loves you tonight. That He loves you. The morning I got saved, it was because a person told me, "We love you. Do you want to go pray?" When you've went through life and you've never felt loved, and all of a sudden you feel something that you've never felt in all of your life, it'll transform your life. I'm saved today because somebody told me they loved me. I mean, it transformed my life. You think, well, that's too elementary, preacher. It's got to be deeper than that for me. Shame on you. Bless your little heart. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation. Distress. Persecution. Famine. Nakedness. Peril. Sword. If I had time, I'd go through every one of them. Paul lived this life to be able to come back later and write that. You'll never be able to testify to anybody else about anything if you yourself has not been, if you yourself have not lived your life through it. Somebody said, well, I can tell you about World War II because I was around. I wasn't. It's just something you can tell me. Somebody can tell me about this or somebody can tell me about that. I don't know unless I've lived through it. I'm going to tell you something. And I hope I've not been too personal tonight in any way, shape, form, or fashion. The only way the church is going to be effective today is when you and I tell our story of our afflictions. Somebody says, well, I ain't going to tell nobody mine. That's between you and God and whoever you're not going to be able to help because you're not telling your story. Tell your story. You don't have to give them your social security number. You don't have to embarrass yourself. You don't have to say anything that you don't want anybody else to know. You don't have to do that. But tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. I was in the valley. I was way down deep in the mire. But one night He came my way. One night He came and He lifted me up out of the miry clay and the depths of sin. When Paul began to write this, Paul said the tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and sword and peril, all the dangers of life, Paul begins to say. Look at the rest of this, verse number 36. He says, it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep before for the slaughter. Again, when you look at the Christians of that day, and they would line the roadway with the heads of the Christians, that they would put them up on lampposts, if you will. They would set them on fire. The Christians of that day would be what people would see as they would go down to particular roads, and they would see the martyrs as they would give their lives for the cause of the cross. Just for a minute, if you'll spare me just a minute. If you and I really had to go into persecution because of the cross, I wonder how long we'd cling to the cross. I mean, if we really had to make a decision, a public decision about Jesus Christ being Lord and Savior over our life, I wonder how long we would make it. I'll get more into Paul Sunday morning, God being my helper. Paul said we're counted as sheep all the day long for slaughter. Brother Bob, he's talking about one attack after another attack. Anybody ever been attacked by the devil? Don't give the devil no glory, But it's just been one thing after another. You get through one thing, and lo and behold, there is a brand new something else. Get through that, Brother West, and lo and behold, I thought it was going to get better. Instead of it getting better, lo and behold, look at this right here now. Can I tell you, newsflash, I'm not glorifying the devil, but the devil's going to do it. What is the devil's job description? The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I read the latter part of John 10, part B. But Jesus said that I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I'm not coming tonight with some sad tale. I'm not coming tonight with some long, saddened face as I was yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. You get the picture? I'm not coming tonight with that. I'm coming tonight to tell you, if God be for me, then who can be against me? It's time for the church to rise up. It's time for the Christian to take their place. It's time for you and I to stand up one more time and declare that we are like sheep killed all the day long. Verse number 37, I like the verse. He says, nay, in all these things, is there anybody in the room tonight that can report victory tonight? In all of these things, we are more than a conqueror. Oh, devil, give me your best shot. Oh, devil, do everything you can. But I've got an elder brother at the right hand of the throne of God. When they went and they stoned Stephen, when Stephen was going through the persecution, they was gnashing upon him, and they were doing everything to Stephen. Stephen looked up, and Stephen knew it. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and having the Holy Ghost don't keep you from the storm. It just gives you the power to get through the storm. But they looked up, and Stephen was there. Stephen said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. It gave him the assurance that God is my helper. If God says that in the Word, then He is your helper tonight. He says it in the Word, He is my helper tonight. And I hear the Holy Ghost as you stand tonight. I hear the Holy Ghost tell me that God has a perfect track record. And I report to you tonight on the God that cannot fail, and the God that has a 100% success rate tonight. And God has never failed His people. Hallelujah. He says in the Word, man, all these things, we are more than. Not just barely getting by, squeaking by. It's amazing to me that the Christian church wants to just squeak on by. Don't we? You know what I'm talking about. You might as well shake your little head, yeah. As long as I make it to heaven, preacher, that's all that matters. Whatever happened to the fact that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force? Whatever happened to the day that we had to put our stake in the ground? I don't want you to fall and it be my fault. Whatever happened to the day that we put our stake in the ground and we do like that little children's song years ago? I shall not be. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I sung it a few weeks ago. Penny's going to teach it to me. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. You say, well, preacher, what's going on tonight in this service? We're getting our victory back. If I had time, Brother Cain, I'd go back over in the Old Testament. When they came out of Canaan, when they came out of the land, they had to go and they had to face those ites. First thing, they had to go to Jericho. Yeah. Told them 7 days, hush your mouth. Don't say a word. Just walk. Just walk. Just walk. Sometimes we talk too much. Just walk. Just walk. Don't be telling everybody what you're going through, preacher. Just walk. Just walk in victory. Walk. Walk. We ain't had a victory march in years. Just walk. Just walk. But on that seventh day, what did they do? They set the trumpet to their mouth. And they begin to blow the trump of Jehovah. They begin to blow that shofar. And the walls, everything that had stopped them, fell down. Hey, I've got a shofar. I don't know the certain tones. They have certain tones on the shofar that mean different things, and I've never studied that part of the shofar. But Brother Jason and I remember years ago getting that. It's on our shelf in our house with a prayer shawl. I remember years ago getting that thing out and trying to learn how to blow the shofar. I think I need to bring it sometime. And just sound the alarm on the devil. We're not going down. This is our victory march. The church ain't going down. The church ain't going down. Can I tell you, and then I'm gonna close. Well, I'm going to read the rest of this text, and I'm gonna close. And I got to give you a little hint of what's in my pocket. Okay? Sunday morning right here. And I'm going to say it like this. It's the only way I can do it. God says, I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. So whatever you're facing tonight, whatever you're dealing with tonight, whatever I'm dealing with, whatever I have dealt with, whatever, Jonathan, I'll deal with in the future, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. We got to get back to the place that we take our position, authority over the enemy of our soul. And Sandra, we need to declare, my God's bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. We're like an armadillo. We got armadillo faith, by the way. We do have armadillo faith. What does that mean? Armadillo faith. Because the first little thing that comes our way, we want to do like an armadillo. You know the possum with a half shell? You know what it is? We want to just curl up in a ball and go inside of our shell. Folks, I've been that way for 2 months. But Brother West, not tonight and no more. Whoo! You're agreeing with me. I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to let the devil destroy me. He's hammered that rock for 2 months. Every day. Beating the rock. I ain't said nothing much. Beating the rock. Maybe you feel beat up tonight. But you need to tell the devil right now, my God's bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. Look at your neighbor and say, my God's bigger than that. Whatever it is you're dealing with, God's bigger than that. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Alan. Oh, sorry, through Sherry. No. Through Jason, no. That means I can't do it. If I could do it, I'd be God. God's made this thing so that you and I have to depend on Him. If we don't, 100% failure rate. Guaranteed. Every time. When we put our confidence in man and the flesh. Part of that is another message for another time. Go ahead, Penny. 38, we look at this fast. 38, he says this. Paul said, for I am persuaded. Somebody get persuaded tonight. Great God, have mercy. Excuse me. Excuse me for just a minute. Woo! Somebody needs to get persuaded tonight. You need to be convinced. You need to be convinced God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. You say, I don't have a clue where you're at in this message tonight, preacher. It ain't for you. It's for those that understand what you've went through and God's brought you through. And God's going to do it again and again and again as you hold to Him. He said in the Word, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, nor things present nor things to come. Verse 39 says these words, nor height nor death nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Do you feel that tonight? Does anybody feel loved? Does anybody feel revigorated? Does anybody feel like